military veterans, and active duty service members. You could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Chilluminati Podcast, episode 265. As always, I am one of your hosts, Mike Martin. Today, joined by the Josie and the Pussycat of L.A., Alex and Jesse. I had a feeling.
Meow.
Rival goes west, an American tale that Jesse is.
Yeah. That's a big truth right there.
That's great.
Yep. But yeah,
welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome. Yeah.
Who is it? Dom DeLuise?
I don't know. I can't tell you because I don't know. I can't tell you anything. Jesse would be the only one who would know.
What do you mean by that?
I think it's Dom DeLuise in there. I refuse to Google things.
I'm pretty sure he was in it. Was he the cat who then became sheriff?
I think so, personally.
Sure. All right.
In this alternate timeline.
And I'm Josie.
I don't know what that means. I just know the name.
Here's the problem. Josie and the Pussycats, I'm just two other band members.
Guitars and Marshall Stacks.
Yeah, and you're just the lead singer, but I'm two band members?
I called you a pussycat.
Yeah. So I'm potentially the drummer.
I think I'm Josie from Josie and the Pussycats, but I'm just a
pussycat.
Yeah. You know what? You're just Tom Jones. I'm Josie and you're Tom Jones.
Cool.
Anyway.
Let us know in the comments. Patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod. Join for free to let us know if Jesse's the Tom Jones of LA.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Tom Jones is the Tom Jones of LA. But
do you know something? He's British.
Damn, dude.
Isn't that fucked up?
Is that fucked up?
Isn't that messed up?
Should he not be British?
He just doesn't sound very British when he sings. Gotcha. That's all I'm saying.
I want to say for the record, I don't know what people at home who are viewing this on the video version see, but I don't see Alex anymore.
Me either. Me. I see his arm and like his shoulder.
This man has moved so far to the left.
Is it widescreen or not?
No, it hasn't been widescreen for me at all. It's been very like profile. It might be widescreen for the viewers.
I see nothing.
What do they see?
I see your microphone, and even your microphone goes off screen just a little bit.
What are the patrons? What do the patrons see?
Probably. Can go back to your old angle.
This looks great in 1080p.
Okay, yeah. When I move the monitor to force it to widescreen, I can see you fine. You're the rule of thirds. I can see what you're doing here. But when you're
this is good stuff. The people appreciate it.
When it goes normal mode for us.
I'm going to let you know, this man, as I'm doing this, because this man loves to do his like goofy faces and his like bits and things. And I have to sit here and pretend I see him, but I don't see him.
I'm sorry. It's cinema.
The patrons can see him. We just can't. That's the problem.
That's so funny. If you make it a little smaller, like if you make your window a little smaller, you can get all three widescreen bang, bang.
Yeah,
bang.
Just if you squeeze the top or bottom until it goes wider and wider.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to squeeze
like,
it.
Like if I had my druthers.
Perfectly framed. I am framed perfectly 24/7, 8 days a week.
But that's where I like. You know, sit in my underwear and clip my toes back there. It's a different vibe.
That's what you get the Patreon supercut at $20. It's a different vibe. We don't see it, but you do.
All right, touche. Yeah, good point. Don't want to see that.
Sometimes the best brand deal is organic. You know, it just happens on its own and just.
Yeah. And you know, you would be seeing what we're talking about right now if.
Yeah, if you were there.
You were over on Patreon.
Yeah, look at that.
Patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod.
What a website.
Boys, are you ready for today's episode? Shall we get right into it? This is the longest script I've put together
ever?
For a single part episode ever. Not a multi-part, just single part. We'll see. It's a long one, but I don't think it'll...
We'll see if it ends up being long.
We talked about it last week. I told you what we're going to do this week.
I have forgotten. I don't pay attention to...
The sunken continent, the forgotten world.
Lemuria?
Oh, Lemuria, yeah. Yes.
Oh, see, it's coming back to me now. Nice.
This,
the reason I'm interested is because I'm just trying to imagine what 2 hours of Lemuria is going to be. Well, I'm just trying to... I'm fascinated what angle you're going to take. That's the thing I'm excited about.
Well, here's what I'm going to take the angle I always do. So there's no aliens in Lemuria. This is all supposedly kind of the cradle of humanity in a lot of ways.
This is some Atlantis shit.
The reason I bumped this an extra week for myself because I found and I went through and was able to detail the origins of Lemuria itself, where and when it started getting crazy and when it started to spiral out of control.
You found the lost tablets of Lemuria?
Yes, exactly that.
You found the ancient hovercraft of Lemuria?
Dinotopia is real? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, it was real. Yeah, but before Lemuria was like a land of ancient wisdom, spiritual giants, crystal-powered societies, all it was actually a desperate attempt to explain why certain fossils of tiny primates kept showing up in places that scientists said they shouldn't be, at least at the time. We're talking the very late 1880s around when this kind of all cropped up. It was what was just a zoologist's search for answers spiraled very quickly into the tale of the sunken continent, cosmic wisdom, magical nonsense that makes even Atlantis sound a little bit more sane with some of its explanations. Do you know much about Lemuria at all?
I've heard it mentioned so many times by so many different, like you're saying, like kind of old timey folks. Like it's like it's almost like some hokum a little bit. Like it's like
early on for sure.
Yeah. It feels like a modern version of like Atlantis or something like that
It's interesting to say modern for it's. We'll talk about it, but it has
a different vibe.
What I think about somebody telling me about Lemuria, I'm imagining the fucking dude from The Wizard of Oz that Dorothy runs into right before she goes to Oz. You know what I'm saying? Like like a fucking snake oil salesman telling me about it specifically, like Jules Verne esque people talking to me about Lemuria. So that's why I say more recent, not because
I feel you.
If you know what I mean. Okay. No,
I got you now, for sure.
More recently has the vibe of like it is. We've talked about Atlantis so much and no one has come forward with anything real. So have you heard about this other important place?
You don't know what you just did to my email. You do just by saying that. I'm going to get so many angry emails about people who are so convinced that Atlantis is real.
That's fine. I'm okay with that. The thing is, though, I'm talking about, like, as someone who listened to Coast to Coast for years, who loved Coast to Coast, who really hasn't listened a lot lately, but used to listen to Coast to Coast all the time. One of the things they would do on that show is they would, for a long time, talk about Atlantis. And then as it became more and more outlandish and weird and more likely to be just a bunch of nonsense, suddenly Lemuria became a thing. And it was sort of a new age version of, well, Atlantis is not the real thing we should be talking about. Atlantis, they are right. It is stupid. The real thing is Lemuria. And that became a big thing to talk about where it had this sort of new age vibe to it because it was instead of being, you know, ancient and this city that was talked about by the Greeks, instead it is a city that has crystal power and it is almost futuristic in its ideas of a society and that kind of thing where it's more like Alex was saying something for today and a more modern take on an ancient lost society is the vibe that I got from
they're it. Probably like socialist and shit like you know what I mean like based on what values were popular at the time.
It's definitely more modern than Atlantis in a lot of ways, and a lot of what you're talking about, Jesse, has its roots in the early 1900s but really kind of spun out of control into weird nonsense in the 1970s is really kind of when it took off and like reintegrated into new age society. There's a point in time where Lemuria was kind of like not dead, but really just not really much interest in that society from about 1930s to the 1970s. And the 1970s kind of re-sparked its interest with more kind of just lore added on top of it. But we're going to start way at the beginning. We're really just going to go through Lemuria from its origins as a weird pseudoscientific explanation for fossils all the way to the spiritual giants who rule an ancient kingdom filled with technology our minds could not simply comprehend. And we begin going back to the mid 1800s. Yeah, come on. It's like Magic School Bus, but for stupider shit. Yeah, one of those two things. Let me just shout out my sources at the very top here before I fucking forget, by the way. The main source for this is a book by the name of The Secret Doctrine, which is extremely important in the future. If you go, like I know that book, then you're a little you're a layer or two deeper in the occult than I think a lot of other people are out there. We're also going to be talking about Philip Sclater's 1864 paper on mammals of Madagascar and a bunch of new age nonsense as we go through, including Moo theories and the books about Moo written by James Churchward. There's a lot of just nonsense out there, and I'm about to fill your fucking mind.
The Secret Doctrine is like one of those like theosophical kind of like psychical.
That's where theosophists come from, my man. Psychical. That's where the word theosophists come from.
Yeah, like kind of like new age, like
do you know who the author is?
Oh,
you will when you hear the name later. I'm gonna bring it up, don't worry. The last Blavatsky. One I want to shout out as my source is a website by the name of bibliotecapleiades.net. It's as hard to read as it is to simply say it, but it is one of those old websites that's just like a ton of just like archived information about all this shit just stored on blue text on a weird beige background.
I love websites like that.
Little gifts in the corner.
Here, I'll show you. Just anybody go to Bibliotheca Pleiades, Google it, put it in there. But boys, there's your
one is like a rabbit with glitter flowers, and
one's just like a static picture of a bouquet of flowers, but the flowers are like sparkling.
Yeah. It says happy birthday for some reason. Yeah.
Click on the goddamn link. The
information's depot for the searcher. That's not even how you spell that.
I mean, it is. I'm waiting for the information's depot for the searcher to start spinning.
It's not for going to, unfortunately.
Because it looks like a GeoCities spinning logo.
And those links up top are going to take you all throughout, like where you can learn all kinds of useless information. But that's, yeah, those are the sources. If you want to seek them out, please do.
It's like a remote museum for like fringe topics.
Yes. It's a yes. It's a very good
Pleiades
way of putting it.
From that Red Hot Chili Peppers song.
It's like a database. Right. I'm from the Pleiades. Got a big Pleiades.
Yeah.
Hang on. I got to read this. My cat's at the vet. Hang on. I got to read this real quick. And then Dean can edit this out.
Will Dean edit it out? We'll find out.
No emergency surgery for my cat. Okay. Anyway, here we go. So we're going to start in the mid 1800s. Back then, fossil hunters were making a lot of discoveries across the globe, like constantly. And one curious finding that kept throwing them off was what we would know as lemurs, lemur fossils. These things, these small primates
fucking
were found.
Zabumafu?
Yes, from Zabumafu. Correct. Exactly that. These small prosimian primates specifically were found in Madagascar, India, and Sri Lanka, but notably absent from the mainland Africa or anywhere in the Middle East. And at the time, biogeography was like a puzzle. This was like a major puzzle in the scientific community. Fossils were being unearthed that didn't make sense with their current understanding of how animals were distributed across the globe, because this was all pre-continental drift. They had no idea about continental drift yet. So they were kind of trying to fill in the holes as to how these lands were all connected with sunken pieces of land bridges and all kinds of other explanations, trying to make sense as to why fossils were being found, on separate continents separated by a huge ocean.
Do lemurs have thumbs? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
I bet you that's what it is, because they probably seem a little bit more like little tiny people because of that.
Well, they were just they were showing up in areas, like I said, India, Madagascar, Sri Lanka. But that to them, that means they should have also been showing up in Africa and the Middle East because of their landmass theory or whatever. But they couldn't figure it out.
Right.
In 1864, British zoologist Philip Lutley Sclater, who was primarily focused. I know. It's a fucking mouthful. His primary focus was on ornithology, but he was so fascinated by biogeography that he published a paper titled Mammals of Madagascar, one of the sources, in the Quarterly Journal of Science back in the 1860s. In this paper, he posited that Madagascar's unique mammalism fauna, particularly these lemurs, could be explained by a sunken landmass that had once connected Madagascar to India. And with the creativity of what I would consider, you know, any scientist, he named this land what else but Lemuria, because he found lemurs everywhere. So Lemuria.
So Lemuria is just named after fucking lemurs?
Yes, sir. That is
Zabumafu is the same as Lemuria?
I get, in a weird way, yes. Correct.
Did they know they were lemurs?
Yes, they knew what they knew they were lemurs, and that they were, these were animals, and they just couldn't figure out why they were where they were distributed on the land masses at the time. His hypothesis was entirely about explaining the fossil distribution of lemurs. This thing, just to clarify, like, Sclater wasn't talking about any ancient civilization or even humans at all when he brought up Lemuria. This was literally specifically him trying to put a hypothesis forward to explain the distribution of lemur fossils. That's all it was at the beginning. He wasn't making things up for fun. He wasn't grappling with a serious puzzle that other scientists may have noticed as well. Madagascar as an island had been isolated for so long that it developed a kind of different ecosystem. There were animals, especially lemurs, that didn't fit into the usual biogeographic patterns. And lemur fossils, or closely related species, had been found not only in Madagascar, but like I said, in India and Sri Lanka. And this all brought up the question to them how these primates ended up being in such far-flung places without a clear migration path forward. Like I said, this is all pre-plate tectonics. Then a man by the name of Alfred Wegener, who would later champion the idea of continental drift, wouldn't propose this until the early 20th century. So there are decades that go by that these sunken continents.
The concept of nobody's like thinking about that South America and Africa look suspiciously.
Right. Like they would fit together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody was
not
thinking about that.
So it was just, and it was going through the scientific community, like kind of just, it was the best thing they had at the time. Then we move to the mid-19th century, which was still kind of a weird time for geology and natural history. But continental drift had been proposed in the early 20th century, but in Sclater's time, it was still decades away. Like I said, this is why all the shit kind of popped up.
Fucking
so when Sclater theorized a sunken continent connecting Madagascar and India, it wasn't new or strange to 19th century thinkers at all. This was just a very common trope in scientific and pseudoscientific circles back then.
Land masses sinking like boats to the bottom of the ocean.
Sunken land masses is like.
Do you think Sclater? Do you think it's because they didn't have a concept of how land masses are formed, or did they know and they just assumed? Yeah, they just fall into the ocean all the time.
I don't think they understood how land masses were formed yet. I think that's the plate tectonics is when they start to understand. You know, when they kind of crush together. That's when land gets pushed upward, and that's how you get islands and shit.
Right.
So that didn't, I don't think they at all thought.
So in their mind, an island sat on the water.
Yeah.
And then would sink.
And then it would just go down.
And that's what everything was doing.
Or maybe oceans rose and that like kind of sunk the island, you know, maybe
I guess if you're thinking at baseline that all land is floating on the ocean, the idea of it sinking makes a lot more sense. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like at that point, anything's possible because they are basically boats.
And you're not diving. Like, no one's.
Yeah, how could we know?
Deep diving.
How could we know?
Right. They're not. They can't.
Right. So you can go. Can. You can see the land a little bit, but you're not going out deep into the ocean where it's dark and then swimming down to the point where you can see that the land is still connected going all the way down. You're just like.
You're in the 1860s, dude.
Water.
Yeah, you're like on a boat, you know, a wooden boat sailing across the sea for 2 months, and you're just like looking at lands like. They just must float on the water. That's just what they fucking do. This is all basically just me to say, like, this during this time, this wasn't like a bizarre or weird theory. This is just very common. Hmm. And it's just because specifically of the lemurs being in Madagascar, like nowhere else. So for a brief time, Sclater's theory actually gained some traction. The geological community found the idea of submerged continents plausible. And in the late 1800s, a man by the name of Ernst Haeckel, a German biologist.
Why are there so many Klingons involved in this?
Hey, German, how dare you?
Oh, right.
Ernst Haeckel, a German biologist and early Darwinist, even endorsed Lemuria. Lemuria might have faded into obscurity had it not been for him actually endorsing it in the late 1880s. This gave it just a bit more life to it. He was a huge fan of Darwin's theory of evolution and used the idea of Lemuria to begin to explain how humans had evolved. And it's through Haeckel that we start to see some of the more lore of Lemuria start to bubble up. He proposed that Lemuria was possibly the birthplace of humanity itself. And that is what this man put forward. He imagined
just to make it, just to spice it up a little.
Yeah, like he had some shall we say racist views of evolution back in the day, and
you don't say
mixed with pseudoscience as well. And this is what he used to theorize why Lemuria was maybe the cradle of humanity. He imagined that
racism and pseudoscience, that'll never come back and bite us in the ass.
No, God no. This was only back in the 1800s. He imagined that proto-humans, our earliest ancestors, had lived on Lemuria and then spread out across the globe. He even went so far as to suggest that Lemuria could have been the cradle of the human race, proposing that an ancient population of ape men, quote unquote, lived there before the landmass sank. It's important to note that his theories, though, like I said, were steeped in racial pseudoscience, like just completely. We're not going to go into the details of that.
Is it because they were finding skeletons of people that were like, boy, this seems pretty old, and it was in places where you wouldn't think there would be people? There's got to be, they have to have come from somewhere else. Like, there's like, I don't.
Yeah, he basically,
this old skeleton from Africa, I like that.
And aren't all men ape men?
Yes, correct. Yeah, but like, this is the, so he was a Darwinist at the time, but gotta keep,
if
like,
you cut me, do I not bleed?
They're trying to remember this. They're trying to, the quote unquote missing link, right? Like, trying to figure out where we got to where we were at that time. And so Hackle took the opportunity to grab onto Lemuria as a science and a genuine scientific hypothesis. And he used Lemuria to fill in his blanks of evolutionary theory, which at the time had a fuck ton of gaps in it. They were just still very much trying to figure it out. And without fossil evidence for early human ancestors at the time, Hackle's imagination and the concept of a sunken land seemed like just a logical extension of Darwinism to him. And this was how humans got brought into the land of Lemuria as just an idea. Unfortunately for Slater and fans of Lost Continents as a whole, Lemuria as a scientific idea didn't last much longer. By the early 20th century, Lemuria started to lose its scientific credibility because Alfred Wegener's theory of continental drift, proposed in 1912, which gave about 40-ish years to Lemuria being a continent, like as a sunken continent to kind of percolate through scientific circles. This offered a much better explanation for the distribution of species across different continents. Wegener suggested that continents themselves had once been connected in a supercontinent, Pangaea, which eventually broke apart. This movement of continents explained why similar fossils could be found on distant land masses without the need for all of these sunken continents that should be fucking at the bottom of every ocean at this point.
Like, what happened? Like Magneto came and like ripped a hole in that shit and it fell down.
Yeah, I don't know what, I don't know how it would have sunk. Like, they don't, I don't, I didn't go deep into the scientific theory as like, so why they thought they sunk. That was just enough for me. And once plate tectonics and continental drift became widely accepted by mid-20th century, the idea of Lemuria as a real place vanished from serious scientific discourse fucking entirely. However, by then, it was already too late, and the name Lemuria had been picked up by occultists and mystics alike, and one person in particular would give rise to the mysticism and the lore around the supernatural version of Lemuria that we know today. A woman by the name of Madame Blavatsky. Do you know Madame Blavatsky, Alex?
Yeah, that's what I said earlier. Well, that was my guess. It's just one of those names that you recognize because I used to go to the psychical research and
you absolutely would have come across her
occult religion like section of the LA library. If you are in Los Angeles and you want to have a good time, go to the Central Library downtown. The downtown is kind of like not what you would expect in Los Angeles if you're not from Los Angeles. But that library has so many books just like this. And Blavatsky is one of those things that you always see and that people are always talking about. I haven't really delved into it myself. I'm not really like a true believer or anything, but it's some interesting stuff.
I will one day do an episode on her book, The Secret Doctrine. And I would love to one day do a deep dive into her, but like that requires a lot more time and a lot more. And I would need Deanna Hart on that. But we'll talk about her one day in great detail because she is a fascinating figure in history and what she did to the New Age and like mystical cult movement. But for those who don't know who she is, let me just give you a very brief kind of synopsis on her. Her name was Madame Helena Petrova Blavatsky. She was a Russian mystic, author, co-founded the Theosophical Society in 1875. She was born in 1831 in what is now Ukraine, and she led a life shrouded in essentially mystery, filled with claims of spiritual enlightenment, travels to the furthest corner of the world, and encounters with the hidden masters of ancient wisdom. And the hidden masters alone are such a fascinating part of her life, which we can't dive into right now. Whether or not all these adventures were real is widely up for debate. But what's clear is that Blavatsky had a profound influence on the world of Western esotericism and occultism. She was known for her flamboyant personality, vast knowledge of religious and spiritual traditions, and her ability to blend Eastern and Western philosophy into something that felt both ancient and new by the magical art of bullshitting. The woman was so fucking good at just making up shit that could tie two seemingly disparate ideas together in a way that if you just don't think about it too hard, it makes sense in that kind of weird esoteric way. She was just, she was impressively good at it.
You know, this may surprise you, but I know a thing or two about this art form myself.
Do you? Wow. I thought you were just a man of knowledge and education.
What are you trying to say exactly?
No. Huh?
What is the implication here?
What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that maybe there's a line between entertainment and education and advertising that I like to call advertainment.
You can learn more about that, though, I think, at Patreon, right?
Yeah, patreon.com/Chillumnitypod is a great place to start. You listen to the Greenstone.
That's not real? The Greenstone?
Episodes.
I'm sorry.
I think they're real, actually.
It's real. It's just strung together. You know, I had to do the work there. And also, you know, you could check out the current episodes of my H8 Octology, which are out there that you can find if you want to know. So all kinds of stuff, all kinds of exciting stuff.
I don't know if it's as good as you're saying.
I'm just saying me and Blavatsky, we're simpatico. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, I understand this person. I get it.
Yeah, you get her.
Just say it.
Listen, Jesse, right. I have a feeling when we do go deep into Madame Blavatsky one day, you, I feel like, are going to resonate with her in a way you did not realize. We're going to talk a little bit about her, but not the dude. She's a multi-part, like, deep dive. She's fascinating.
By the way, I know we're talking Lemuria. Are we going to get into the land of Mu at all?
Yes, we are at the end.
Oh, we're gonna talk about the land excited. Yep, okay,
absolutely.
Never mind.
Okay. By the way,
for those who are curious, as Mathis was saying earlier, if you do look up Lemuria, because he said we're not going to get into what happened to Lemuria and why it disappeared.
No, we are.
Like, how?
We're going to go into the mythological reasons as to why the thing vanished.
What I'm saying is, if you look it up, you're just going to see the real reasons. You're going to see, like, continental drift, science determined that was a lie. Like, you're just going to, there's no real discussion on it that exists
on the
internet.
That's why you have to go to bibliotecapleiades.net to get the real truth.
Right.
It's the only place you can.
Most of it is in Spanish, though. Fair warning.
Yes, it is. You have to, there's some English parts, but you just got to navigate a little bit. Listen, it was difficult. we've got to get through this. So, in the late 19th century, she really was huge in igniting the modern occult movement by promoting the idea that all world religions shared a common root of ancient spiritual truth. And it was up to the enlightened few to uncover it. And she's often credited as one of the early figures to popularize concepts like karma, reincarnation, and spiritual evolution out in the West, though she mixed them with a hefty dose of her own interpretation. Blavatsky and her followers believed in the existence of secret knowledge, which could only be passed down by the masters, accessible only to those who were spiritually awakened, and that humanity was part of a grand cosmic plan directed by beings, higher beings. And all of this is the secret doctrine. It's basically her giant, it's a dense 2-volume book that attempts to explain the origins of the universe, the evolution of humanity, and the hidden spiritual truths that she claimed underlie all religions across the world from the beginning of time. The book draws heavily on Eastern philosophies like Hinduism and Buddhism, Western esotericism, ancient mythologies from all over the world, and brings it all fucking together to create a vast mystical framework of our understanding of the cosmos that only the most enlightened could truly understand.
Don't forget to breathe. There you go. Thank you. You're in there.
My heart started going, and I felt like I might
take a hit of your piece.
Yeah, I just felt like I was ascending in the moment. I just thought I was going to go. But
get your head
here's
right.
Here's a mega simplified, super basic rundown of some of the key ideas of the secret doctrine. And this one day, I will tackle this one day fully. First, you have to know the secret doctrine introduces the idea of the root races. Humanity evolves through a series of seven root races. Each race represents a step in spiritual evolution, and these races existed on now lost continents like Lemuria and Atlantis.
Is this fucking Xenoblade Chronicles? What's going on here?
It might be. It might be.
Wait, and according to just based on what you actually, I think you're going to say it. All right, you may be about to tell us.
According to Blavatsky, we're currently part of the fifth root race, the Aryan race. The Blavatsky predates its association with the 20th century definition of it. It was more of the old definition of it.
Sure.
But you can see how very quickly.
Just like the Nazi swastika, right?
Wasn't a swastika before it was a swastika. But
that's exactly correct.
But here's
right?
the thing. Like, correct. It has since changed.
Yes, it has.
Unfortunately for everyone.
Another core idea is cosmic evolution. Blavatsky posited that the universe is cyclical, with long periods of creation and destruction, akin to the Hindu concept of the yugas. Everything, and we're about 445,000 years away from the ending of our current yuga.
I'm sorry,
cycle.
How long?
445,000 years.
Oh God, I thought I'd have to worry about that.
Yeah, well, you might. Maybe we'll figure out immortality before we die.
it's just a funny.
That's
sentence.
When we're gonna have to do it.
Everything is. Yeah, I know. Before we die, we'll live forever. Everything is.
If we don't do that, we might not figure it
right,
out.
Right, right. Well, we might. Yeah. You know what? No. You're actually very correct. To her, everything is part of a cosmic plan and spiritual building. Not buildings. Could be. They could live in spiritual buildings. Spiritual beings, which she called Mahatmas or ascended masters, are there guiding humanity's progress. And then there's the esoteric knowledge that Blavatsky believed that the wisdom of the ancients had been lost or hidden over time, but it could be accessed through spiritual enlightenment and esoteric study. And the Theosophical Society aimed to recover and spread this esoteric knowledge. That's so like the basic core three ideas of the book, The Secret Doctrine.
Do we know what came before the Aryans in this? I'm really worried that we're going to find out like the lowest level, you know, like,
it's not going to be like comforting, like whatever you are imagining. I'm sure it's not going to be great.
First root race. Is known as
this is how we all started.
This is how we all started, according to her. According to just Blavatsky, this has nothing really to do with
Lemuria. But like the ancestor of ancestors.
Yes, we go through
this.
This
is the lowest form of humanity.
Yes. So each root race. So according to her writings, the seven root races that are on Earth, each root race is divided into seven sub races. Only five root races have appeared so far. The sixth is expected to emerge in the 28th century. And Francis Bacon, whom Theosophy considers to be the legendary Count of Saint Germain, in his work The New Atlantis from 1627, describes a potential future.
Hold on, I've seen Castlevania. I've seen the Netflix show Castlevania. You telling me Count Saint Germain is Sir Francis Bacon in that show?
He describes a potential future civilization which lives on a land called Ben Salam. But anyway,
Ben Salami.
Ben Salam.
Ben Salami is a great deli. Like
Ben
Salami,
it's like on 2nd Street. Great deli.
I'm going over the root races real quick. Okay. The first root race, the Polarians. They're the first root race was ethereal. That means they were composed of etheric matter.
They were ethereal. They were a concept of a race.
I don't have a race. I have just have a concept of a race.
Concept of a race,
They reproduced by dividing like amoeba, and Earth was still cooling at that time. The first mountain to arise out of the stormy primeval ocean was Mount Meru. The second root race were the Hyperboreans. They lived in the land of Hyperborea. The second root race was colored golden yellow and included what is now northern Canada, Greenland, Iceland, Scandinavia, northern Russia, and Kamchatka.
What?
The climate was
I'm assuming. She has accounted, of course, for continental drift and Pangaea.
No, she was writing the shit before that came out.
Otherwise, just the Canadians were the same. You know what? That checks out. I'm all right with that.
It does. But the climate was tropical because Earth had not yet developed an axial tilt yet. And the esoteric name of their continent is Plaksha. They called themselves Kimpertius, and they reproduced by budding like a plant or laying eggs. The third
why,
race.
Why did you say it like that?
I don't know if they had a choice. It was just how they. The third race were the Miri.
Whoa! Time out. Yep. I will say, if you want the inside scoop on this, go watch the Super Mario Brothers movie from the 90s where they lay eggs.
They are Hyperborean.
Yeah.
They literally are, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
Soft disclosure.
The third root race
were the Lemurians. These lived in Lemuria. Obviously, we'll be talking much more about them, so I'm going to leave that alone. Then the fourth root race were the Atlanteans. They obviously inhabited Atlantis. We talked a bunch about them about 100 episodes ago.
But now we're more like human. Like, now they're banging and stuff, right? Atlanteans are like mammals.
Yeah, like they're more human-esque. Yeah. Okay. They're banging and shit.
They're not lizard people.
And the Atlanteans had their 7 different root races. I'm not going to talk about those. We'll talk about that when we do this book in full. Fifth root race, Aryan race. That's what we are now, according to her, which Theosophists believe to have emerged from previous root race. So we come from the Atlanteans about 100,000 years ago. That's like where we come from. Then you've got the sixth root race, which has no name. According to C.W. Leadbeater, a colony will be established in Baja California by the Theosophical Society under the guidance of the masters of ancient wisdom in the 20th century for the intensive selective eugenic breeding for the sixth root race.
And then the intensive selective eugenic breeding will commence in Baja California because it seemed like a fucking chill place at the time and weed was very cheap and bountiful there.
It's there in Baja California that the Master Moira will physically incarnate in order to be the Manu progenitor of this new root race. He's going to bang everybody into giving out
Hold
humans.
Up. Is Baja Blast soft disclosure?
Fuck.
Guys, is Taco Bell in on this?
And then the seventh root race, which hasn't happened yet either, this root race will arise from the seventh sub-race of the sixth root race on the future continent that the sixth root race will be living on.
Are you Marjorie Taylor Greene's campaign manager? What is going on here?
Did Alex Fasciani write this part?
Are you doing? Did I number this?
Did Alex create the seventh? Like, it feels like. Is that? Oh my God! Is Alex leading us?
What if
are all of his stories going to unite? Where he's like, oh, I am the leader of the seventh tribe the sixth root race.
This whole thing is
Alex
just a
is
giant Dragon Quest IV. Yeah,
he is the Manu.
I'm the Master Mold.
He's gonna take us to the continent. So a continent is gonna arise out of the ocean for this root race, and they're gonna call it Pushkara.
Pushkara, this root rise, race. My children. we're evolving.
Alex, what are you wearing when you take over the world? Are you
nothing.
Like a long? Oh, yeah,
nothing.
Fair enough.
Baja makes way more sense now. All of it's coming together. He's gonna go to Baja, Manu it up, and then come back 400,000 years later.
Going Manu
like,
Manu,
rise
baby.
My island. Yeah.
This root race will be the very last race to appear on planet Earth, and Theosophist Scott Ramsey predicts that any sexual differences among humans will cease to exist, and both conception and birth will become entirely spiritual. So we'll have fully ascended.
Nice.
Question. Is that what the people in
would my
the,
child
the,
be a spirit?
That's a very, I mean, that's a great question for
I'm
Thomas.
Because I'm fine taking care of a spirit. Like
I mean,
kids,
Scott Ramsey.
Gross.
Father, would my child be a spirit?
Cool. Yeah. Spirits are pretty chill.
Do you think that's what the engineers in that
Prometheus?
Movie, Prometheus.
In that movie?
I mean, they're the seventh root race?
We brought a goo?
No, because the engineers created humanity.
Fair. Yeah, that's true. Why would you want to start the cycle again? True. Scott Ramsey also wrote that humanity will have a great spiritual development, saying, quote, everything that is irredeemable, sinful and wicked, cruel and destructive will have been eliminated, and that which is found to survive will be swept away from being owing, so to speak, to a karmic tidal wave in the shape of scavenger plagues, geological convulsions, and other means of destruction.
End of Ava? Is that what's happening here?
We were talking about the space between us all and the people who hide themselves behind a wall of illusion. That's
after
the Beatles.
We bec- After we become this spiritual, like, new being, we will be migrating off of planet Earth to the planet Mercury.
Well, I'm vibing with stupid. It. So, other than the Aryan shit, I'm into this.
Other than moving to Mercury, I'm into this.
I'm into the idea of Mercury. I miss the idea of an inhabitable Mercury.
You love that's right. I mean, you're gonna lead us there. You're literally the one that's taking us there when we ascend.
So it makes sense.
To Mercury, my babies.
And yeah, and our spirits will sort of glom onto you.
Glom, my babies. Glom all the way to Mercury.
And then you'll launch like a rocket up to Mercury.
Yeah, right out of my butt. Glom on, glom, my children. Glom, glom like you've never glommed.
That's how I realize the word glom sucks. Now that I hear it so
dude,
much,
you just
I'm like,
realized now that word sucked? Glom sucked even glom. When it was popular.
Glom is the moist of attaching yourself to someone.
One extra word, you've got, I mean, one extra letter, rather, and you've got glomping.
Glomping? No, I don't know what that is, but I like it.
You're going to get glomped on, dude, by a bunch of weebs in the early 2000s. So they hang on you and, like, gnaw, like, gum on your sleeve
that's
and shit.
So nasty.
Oh, go on. Yeah.
And there's glamping.
Where were you in the early 2000s?
Dude, I was
probably making out with girls,
okay,
dude.
Actually, like, here,
yeah, I was
Cowboy
probably at
Bebop
parties.
I was playing Edward, punk rock music, bro.
Ed,
yeah.
Ed of Cowboy Bebop. Ed glomps constantly. The way
Ed kicks ass. I like Ed.
Yeah, I just hate being Ed. Like, God, I hate Ed.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I know. Okay. I know
anyway,
what's going on.
We gotta keep moving. We gotta go. Blavatsky, central to her. So obviously, central to her cosmology was the concept of the root races, and the Lemurians were one of them. So as it falls away from scientific relevance, so enters Blavatsky's interpretation to start kind of gaining more traction.
Okay.
She described the Lemurian race as giant, androgynous, spiritually advanced beings who lived millions of years ago when the Earth was a very different place. She wrote that Lemuria had existed across the Pacific and Indian Oceans, encompassing parts of what we now think of as Australia, the Pacific Islands, Madagascar, and even parts of Africa.
Whoa, okay, hold
I'm gonna
up,
imagine
hold
Garrus Vakarian, sorry.
Hold up. What the hell does this continent look? So you're telling me it starts in the Indian Ocean.
Yeah.
Then goes to Australia. Then up sort of like to Southeast Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And then into the Pacific.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like Alfred E. Newman's face if you zoom out.
That's why it was able to have huge civilizations just disappear because there was so much land. That was like connecting it all.
It sounds
that's
like
so,
the opposite.
That's
like,
so
it was no,
crazy.
To her, there was no, this, like, Lemuria wasn't a simple land bridge. It was now the cradle of spiritual humanity where the first truly sentient, intelligent beings lived.
But
so this place was huge.
Wouldn't some of Southeast Asia and Australia still be considered land from that? Or did it come
later? I need you to, Jesse, is understand that reality is from the perspective of the person experiencing it. And while you look at a map and say that seems impossible, us who have opened our third eye can see reality for what it is.
History's
as malleable.
History's written by the stoners, my man.
Vibe,
sounds like alternate facts. I don't know that I like it.
That's the best kind like because they're customizable to your needs.
Right, yeah, exactly. Right. We can change them up when needed.
It's easy.
Sure,
yeah.
Which, again, goes to how reality is merely perceived by the one experiencing and can be whatever you want to be. We'll get to it when we talk about the secret doctrine one day. Yeah, just blowing fucking people's minds. So according to Blavatsky, Lemurians started as that androgynous beings, both male and female, and reproduced through egg laying. As they spiritually evolved, they eventually became more sexually distinct and took on physical forms that were far more solid, quote unquote, than their earlier, more ethereal selves. The Lemurians were, according to Blavatsky, deeply connected to the spiritual realms. They had psychic powers, including telepathy, and were in touch with cosmic wisdom. However, they were also less evolved compared to later races like the Atlanteans and eventually modern humans, particularly in their intellectual and technological development. Jesse, did I cut you off before you were about to say something? I thought you were about to gear up to say something. I'm
no,
make sure
I'm always
I
gear up to say something, but please continue.
Yeah. In Blavatsky's telling of Lemuria, Lemuria didn't last forever because that would be like too simple and she needs time to create 100,000 years of or a million years of lore. No, Lemuria had to meet also a tragic end, like all good lost civilizations have to. Over time, the Lemurians allegedly began to degenerate, moving away from their lofty spiritual pursuits and into more material concerns.
Dude, I degenerate all the time, bro.
It was sounds a lot like humans, right? Right.
So that's the moral then is what we're getting here is that at one point in time they were spiritual creatures and then they degenerated into like physical beings that needed, you know, yeah, like became, a nice house.
They became so obsessed with the physical world that they lost their psychic powers and fell into moral and spiritual decay.
And that's what you tell people who join your society, that if you go back to that, you will gain the psychic powers that I possess, that kind of thing.
Yep, bingo. Jesse,
you're going to Scientology, though, right now.
There's a world where Jesse is Sir Blavatsky out there somewhere.
There's a world where if the evil version of me would use all I know. I must stress, if there was some sort of like I as a me now transport back to 10-year-old me and get to live my life over again, God help everyone. I would be a monster. I would use all I know for evil.
All the morals of a 10-year-old.
Oh,
all
yeah.
The knowledge I would, of a middle-aged man.
Oh, it'd be the worst.
That would be bad. She painted Lemuria's fall as a cosmic warning, Jesse. Bingo. When a society prioritizes materialism over spiritual growth, it is doomed. And eventually Lemuria sank beneath the waves, not because of some geological catastrophe, but because of the spiritual failures of its people. The land itself was said to have broken apart due to volcanic activity and floods, sinking into the ocean as a symbol of their decline.
It has some resonance with a lot of what we see even today, where if you want to say what's wrong with society, you just say we lost our spiritual way.
Yeah.
And the more you say that, how do you defend against that?
Because you can just say vague things all the time that are true. Like,
you just hint that what you had was better in the past and that you're trying to make it better now than it was then. Maybe.
But that's the thing is like, it's always tighten it up until progress moves forward. There's always going to be things that are left in the past that people miss. And if you just tune into that, and you're going to get some people to be like, yes. And so absolutely, I can imagine the scenario in which she got people involved where they saw all the different problems with their lives. And then she was like, if we just returned to, if you gave up all your physical things to me, I will give you the spiritual power you need. It's very
make Lemuria great again.
right.
As it's sinking. So
make Lemuria float again.
So we're going to dive deep into Lemuria as a civilization of giants. And this is really where crazy new age Lemuria is. It kind of takes off. Madame Blavatsky kind of turns Lemuria into a place of unlike any land you'd imagine. And of course, your imagination is permanently set to cosmic fantasy like hers. It gets fucking pretty fucking crazy. So according to Blavatsky, in the secret doctrine, the Lemurians were not merely taller than humans, but gigantic. They were half ethereal. They stood between 12 and 15 feet in height.
If they're ethereal, why are they a height?
Well, they're a mix. They're like partially ethereal. They're like somewhat physical, somewhat ethereal.
like a force and, ghost.
Right.
At the end of the movie, Yoda's, they're all different heights, but they're all spirits. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, okay. That's all perfect. Right. Yeah, it's a good way to describe
because
it.
Because you would think spirit Yoda would be like, he'd show up and be like, 7 like feet Snoke. Tall I am, bitches.
Yeah,
like Snoke being exactly. Like, I am huge.
Yeah.
Their size was meant to symbolize their spiritual superiority and closeness to divinity, and they were not yet weighed down by the dense materialism that would later characterize humanity. This idea fits into a broader framework that we'll talk about one day else. One of the most unusual aspects of their society was, as described by Blavatsky, is that they were initially androgynous. That is, they possessed both male and female qualities physically. And this reflected their status as beings who were still close to the divine essence, which in and of itself is asexual. It is not either male nor female.
But as they devolved.
But as they devolve, they begin to split into male and female.
Question. Does this, in this society's belief, there is no biblical origin story or there is no evolutional origin story. It is straight up just like, this is it. All that other stuff, lies.
Yep, correct. Yep, bingo. She believed that in their early stages of the civilization, the Lemurians reproduced through a process of asexual reproduction, likened it to, like I said, budding, like a plant or egg-laying process seen in plants and animals.
So
and
the first two groups.
These
or
are the.
Or whatever it
this
was.
Is still the Lemurians, but early version of Lemurians.
No, but I'm saying like before three. That, you were saying that the other there was the like ethereal beings.
They split
And then there was the people in Canada who became buds or laid eggs. Like there was.
Yeah, we're moving in a process. Right. Like in
and
a
now we're yep. still that we're still in bud egg laying yep. territory, but we're slowly there. Just forming dicks.
Yep. Yep. Exactly that. As they evolved spiritually and physically, they eventually split into sexually distinct beings, and reproduction became more of what we now know as human beings. The Lemurians were not only physically giant, but they were also giant in terms of spiritual power. She described them as possessing psychic abilities and intuitive wisdom far beyond what modern humans could possibly achieve. Their connection to the spiritual planes was strong, meaning they could communicate through telepathy rather than spoken language. And in fact, Blavatsky's Lemurians had no need for speech in the early stages of their existence at all. They transmitted thoughts and ideas directly through mental projections. And in Blavatsky's view, the Lemurians were intimately connected to the Earth in a way that modern humans are not. They understood that the planet's natural energies and rhythms and were capable of manipulating the elements through sheer will. They're like Storm from the X-Men. This wasn't...
Oh, Cetra from Final Fantasy VII.
Yes, yes. This wasn't done with any kind of technology, but just through mental and spiritual power. Their relationship with the natural world was symbiotic. They were stewards of the Earth's energies rather than exploiters of its resources. Blavatsky and subsequent theosophists often discussed that the Lemurians as having powers beyond the physical plane. As part of their connection to the spiritual realm, they were thought to be adept at astral projection. Astral projection is the idea that the soul or consciousness can travel outside of the body and navigate different dimensions or planes of existence. The Lemurians, according to these myths, could project their consciousness across great distances, even communicating with higher spiritual beings or Mahatmas who lived on the higher planes. Some esoteric traditions expanded this idea, suggesting that the Lemurians could travel through dimensions and even shift between realities. This power allowed them to move through time and space in ways that, like, is just like superhero levels of ability to bend shit. Lemuria itself, as imagined in theosophical lore, was a vast, beautiful land that stretched across much of the Indian and Pacific Oceans. Blavatsky and later occultists claim that it spanned parts of modern-day Australia, Southeast Asia, Madagascar, Pacific Islands like Hawaii and Easter Island. Lemuria was a land rich in natural resources, and its people were said to live in harmony with nature, unburdened by the material concerns that plague modern societies. Although Blavatsky didn't provide extensive details on the architecture or everyday life of the Lemurians, later theosophists, people of her teachings, and occultists built upon her ideas, describing Lemurian cities as being vast and grand, though not in the technological sense. Instead of using physical tools, the Lemurians supposedly constructed their cities using psychic forces, with buildings that were often described as crystal-like structures that radiated spiritual energy. So all those just crystal shops. Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's like crystal shops, but you just make them building size and everybody's fucking peace and love and everywhere and just mostly naked.
I'm going to imagine Destiny. Okay.
I haven't played much of Destiny.
So I'm going to picture the dreaming city of Destiny. How about that?
Okay. If you know, that sounds nice.
That's where I'm going in my head.
Okay. Some accounts influenced by Blavatsky's teaching describe Lemuria as a place where everything was in harmony with nature. Their cities weren't built to dominate the landscape, but rather to exist in perfect balance with the natural world. These later interpretations often blend Lemuria with esoteric ideas, adding details like temples of crystal, vibrating energy centers, and places for spiritual enlightenment, like buildings specifically where you go to become spiritually enlightened. The Lemurians had no need for physical tools or technologies. Instead, they just used their psychic powers for everything. They could even communicate with animals, control the weather, and teleport at the peak of their ability. They could fucking just teleport all over the place. Now, we do have an idea of like what they ate, apparently. Another interesting detail in the mythology surrounding Lemuria is the idea that Lemurians were vegetarians, or more accurately, they subsisted on a purely plant-based spiritual diet.
What the hell does that mean? Ethereal plants too?
That's a fascinating question, because she didn't dive very deeply into what this meant. But later theosophical writers kind of came in and tried to like translate maybe her nonsense a bit, and they said that Lemurians lived off of the natural fruits and energies of the earth, absorbing what they needed directly from the ether. Some even described the Lemurians as needing very little food at all, since their bodies were ethereal and light, not weighed down by the densest form of physical matter. This idea of nonviolent, peaceful existence tied into the larger narrative of the Lemurians were more pure and connected to the cosmos than the later fallen civilizations like the Atlanteans. When Lemuria went down too, I forgot to mention this when we're talking about it's going under the ocean initially. Not all the Lemurians died. There were those who survived, and those who survived were the ones that would end up becoming Atlanteans and moving into Atlantis. So like Atlantis came after Lemuria sank, according to Blavatsky.
How do they, you know what? I'm not going to ask. I was going to ask, how do they get to Atlantis?
How do they? Yeah, it's a lot of,
Lemuria might've been just very long and thin, like a very long, it went from the Indian Ocean all the way around.
Listen, you can do a lot with long and thin. Nothing wrong with that. Just saying out there. In the world.
Is this for the aliens? I feel like this is for the aliens.
This is just for me. It's for me. All right. I'm long. I'm thin. I break like a tiny little pencil. Like it's painful. As time passed, Blavatsky described how the Lemurians did actually begin to lose their species. Stop shaking your head.
I will continue to shake my head at you.
As time passed, Blavatsky described how the Lemurians began to lose their spiritual purity. They became more physical. Their bodies became denser, and their spiritual abilities weakened over time.
Really starting to feel Scientology.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yes,
a little bit.
Really starting to get there.
This was reflected not only in their psychic abilities, but also in their society as a whole. The once androgynous giants became more focused on physical reproduction and worldly concerns, which marked the beginning of their spiritual decline. I mean, sex. You know, they got a taste of sex, and they're like, you know what? Looks like powers.
It's pretty cool. I must admit, I would love to know in this version of the origin of man, what the first, you know, they're spiritual beings, they're ethereal. What was the first smooch like? The first time any of these people had sex, were they the
first smooch?
Were they just like grossed out? Like, what's the vibe here?
Yeah.
I probably would have high-fived.
How do they know they wanted to do that?
Did someone fall on top of the other and then it like, you know, they're like, whoa, that's new. Like, what was the vibe?
You got peanut butter in my chocolate.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Just like peanut butter cups.
Yeah. This shift in their nature also led to changes in how they interacted with the world around them. No longer able to simply project their will onto others or onto nature, the Lemurians had developed more physical tools and methods for building and survival. Their telepathic powers would then, it was like a never ending cycle of their powers weakening, and they began to rely more on tools and then verbal language. And their decline is portrayed as both a biological and spiritual descent into materialism. Teaching that lesson, like you said, Jesse, at the very beginning is like, was this all about material? Yeah, right. Exactly that. For Blavatsky, the Lemurians were more than just a lost race, though. They were a crucial step in the evolution of humanity's spiritual journey as a whole to the seventh root race. She believed that each root race represented a new phase in the cosmic development of the human spirit, and with Lemurians serving as the bridge between purely spiritual beings and of the first root races and the more material humans of the later root races. So like, in other words, Lemurian symbolized a point at which that they became both, because Lemurians were kind of both to begin with, and then they slowly became the physical. They're like the missing link of the root races connecting the spiritual and the physical versions of themselves. This idea of Lemurians as giants wasn't just about their height, like I said, their spiritual stature. And as they began to condense physically and became shorter, so too did their spiritual stature, and no longer were they able to reach the cosmic highs and talk to Mahatmas and all these other things that we're able to do. Now, we talked a little bit about the downfall physically of what happened to their society. Just as described by Madame Blavatsky, this was not just a simple geological event. As we said, it was earthquakes. It was floods. It was about the spiritual degradation of the Lemurian people. To Blavatsky, civilizations like Lemuria fell because of the degeneration. And at the heart of Lemuria's fall was a spiritual descent. And in the early stages, Lemurians were, again, the highly spiritual beings. As time went on, as they became more kind of connected to the spiritual, the physical world, all of their spiritual growth just stopped entirely. Like, no, they were, at least while they were still falling into their more physical forms, they were still, spiritual evolution was still kind of happening in the background. She says it isn't until they're fully 3D and they are now like sexual, they're humans essentially in all ways, are their spiritual growth now completely stunted. And it isn't until the Atlanteans also will fall that gives way to our root race, which is the ones who are reconnecting with the spiritual world and ending this physical reliance and hopefully moving back into the higher echelons of higher spirit forms. Get it?
Got it.
Easy as pie, dude. This is my shit.
Yeah, easy. Easy as pie. Blavatsky's view of Lemuria's fall was deeply tied to her ideas about karma as well, the cosmic law of cause and effect. The Lemurians shift away and they get punished accordingly. And according to theosophical teachings, the Earth itself responded to the spiritual decline of Lemurians. Blavatsky suggested that those natural disasters that eventually destroyed them were not random geological events, but events that were born specifically out of the Earth for rejecting what they did.
This is the plot of a Final Fantasy game. Like, there was an ancient race of people, and they were with the, and then they devolved into degeneracy, and the Earth itself killed them, and they returned to the life stream, but their deadly souls have returned in the form of icons, and those icons will be summoned in Ifrit, and like, it's just like, absolutely.
It's also the plot of Final Fantasy VI, basically.
This is one, yeah. This
and
is,
they were, and the last bit of it is, of course, the trifecta volcanoes also were a huge part of, like, they erupted and just fucking separated the land. All that shit just all came together to sink Lemuria over time. Not all of the Lemurians were said to have perished, like I said earlier. Blavatsky suggested that some of them survived by migrating to other lands where they would later evolve into the Atlanteans, the fourth root race. This migration marked a new chapter in this cosmic story of humans' evolution. Some occultists went further, suggesting that Lemuria survivors eventually became the ancestors of certain indigenous people in places like India, Australia, Africa, and so on. Though these claims have been obviously discredited by actual science, proving way more troubling than helpful, as their pseudo-racial aspects are kind of racist in origin. And they transform into what is the Atlanteans. And as much as I'd love to go into that, we talked about Atlantis in a two-episode part. If you want more Atlantis, feel free to go back and, like, that's what they become. So you can go back and listen to that.
We all know Atlantis, like, at least in some respect from...
Yeah,
some pop story that you've heard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Be it MCU or whatever, even.
Disney.
Yeah.
Milo.
In some versions of the story, Lemurian survivors are said to reside in Mount Shasta in Northern California.
No shit.
A mountain that's become a hotspot for New Age and occult beliefs.
Dude, let's go to Mount Shasta. Legends,
yeah, that's according to these legends, the Lemurians live in massive underground cities, still wielding their ancient knowledge and psychic powers, waiting for the right moment to reemerge and guide humanity back to spiritual enlightenment. Like, you know, just casually hanging out underground.
I actually know a place that does some pretty good breakfast sausage out over by Mount Shasta.
Can we, like, do a Chilluminati trip, but we just invite fans and, like, you guys can go look at the mountain and eat sausages, and I'll be at the camp doing, like, a little cult smooching with everyone. Like,
we'll get
my tent. Yeah, we'll get my tent and we'll be like, in order to experience transcendence, listen, you gotta kiss me or something. Like, wouldn't that be fun?
That's wielding authority. I think that'll get you canceled then, Jesse, and then I have to replace
I believe that is called transcendence. And
transcendence.
I will be
it's true.
Seen as a future leader into the next phase of human evolution.
Sure. Sure. That's probably what that's
you guys eat your sausages and climb mountains.
Under the influence of certain drugs,
yeah,
that might be true.
I will expand minds. And smooch lips. Like, what is wrong with that? What is wrong?
If there's some sausage around and it's available, you want me to grab it for you?
No, yeah. That'd be actually. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, sure. I'd probably get hungry with all that smooching going on. Yeah.
It builds up a powerful hunger in you.
Right. I'm no fool. Of course I want the sausage.
Yeah.
So, and if you're out there listening to this and being like, wait, I think I have powers and this sounds right. Well, there are theories out there that there is modern humans that carry Lemurian DNA and are still walking around with it now.
Ooh, like when you go to 23andMe and they have what was I about to say? Nathandrol?
I don't know. Yeah.
Nathandrol?
Nathaniel Richards?
Oh, boy.
Neanderthals is what he's getting at. Everybody.
That's what I meant to say, yeah. But Nathandrol sounds like a character, again, from a Final Fantasy who definitely was Lemurian.
After Madame Blavatsky passed from this earth, Lemuria became a favorite topic in New Age circles, and the myth just continued to evolve on its own from there. During the 20th century, writers and mystics expanded on the story of Lemuria, adding layers of alien intervention, advanced technologies, cosmic mysteries. Lemuria became a land of everything, kind of like Atlantis did. And in the 1930s, a man by the name of James Churchward published a series of books about a similar lost continent that he called Mu, which he claimed was the true birthplace of humanity. Mu was basically just them rebranding Lemuria. That's really what Mu ends up being at the end. He just kind of took the MU in the middle of Lemuria and was like,
it's like an apocalypse Mu. Cult that just kind of like the day passes so they come up with another day kind of vibes.
There's also a South American element to it. I don't know if it's Incan or Mayan. There's something going on there where they like went there, found information, And again, like you're saying, we're just like, yeah, the M and the U, moo. Yeah, that checks out. Like, it's very silly.
It is. Moo, other than being a rebranding, they also had like a dash more of sci-fi flair in there. They really like spice it up and make it a little more exciting. He claimed, Churchward is claimed rather, that Moo existed in the Pacific Ocean and had been home to a highly advanced civilization before it too sank beneath the waves. According to Churchward, Moo's people possessed technologies far beyond our understanding, including devices that could harness the power of Earth itself. Like, sound familiar that the people in Lemuria could do the same damn thing with their brains?
Yeah.
As the decades went on, Lemuria and Moo became a central element in ancient astronaut theories. Some proponents of these ideas suggested that Lemurians weren't just spiritually advanced, they were in contact with or even descended from aliens. Lemuria, in these versions of the myth, was part of a broader galactic network of civilizations, and its downfall is tied to the cosmic conflicts. And really, if you want more about this, is like the episode we did about the 12 alien races and shit, it like goes in that direction. We're not going to fucking talk about
it. If you want to know how far it goes, I believe the Queen of Mu escaped its destruction and ended up in Egypt as the goddess Isis.
Yes, correct. Yes.
So that's how this goes. If you're curious.
That's exactly how that goes, dude. That's your yes. And then there's the version.
I love Mu. It's wacky.
We could probably do an old episode on Mu.
Mu is used a lot in video games. I don't know, Lemuria not so much, and not so much like Atlantis sometimes, but Mu for some reason is used a lot.
It's in like Falcom games and shit.
It's even in the concept is in Chrono Trigger. That's right. One of the characters is called Mu, and then the Kingdom of Zeal is like a Mu-based society.
That's right.
It's very
so many places are basically Mu in JRPGs.
Then there's the other version of Lemuria, where Atlantis didn't come after Lemuria, but Lemuria and Atlantis coexisted at the same time. And in some versions of this myth, the Lemurians and Atlanteans not only coexisted, but with Atlantis rising to power as Lemuria was declining at the same time. And depending on who you fucking ask, the two civilizations might have even gone to war with each other, with their conflict being a big contributing factor to both of their downfalls, and they basically sunk each other.
You know what? I like that. That's fun.
Yes. I actually knew about that version before the other versions, hilariously. Atlantis tends to get a lot of the attention in pop culture, but Lemuria has its own dedicated fan base out there in the New Age and esoteric communities, where Atlantis is seen as a place of technological wonders, and Lemuria is seen as the opposite, spiritual utopia. The two. One crashes
you
while the other rises.
Every Final Fantasy game?
Literally every Final Fantasy game,
spirituality versus
bro.
Modernity? Are you kidding me? Let's go.
Yeah, and it was technology versus like that, and they go to war with each other.
But at this time, what is technology? Just like fucking steam engines
space
and shit?
Age, like, you know, like sci-fi tech with a little bit of magic involved, like spiritual nonsense. But like, yeah, the Atlanteans were more material focused than the others.
Yeah,
and I could be remembering incorrectly, I read a lot of bullshit this past couple weeks.
It is so video gamey, where it's one group has gears and shit, but that does the magic. And one group just says a thing or uses their mind and that does the magic. But they both do the same thing, but one's like the robo version and one's like the spiritual version. But yeah, they're both future powered.
Yep, that's exactly correct. Like, that's how it is. And like I said, even today, the idea of Lemuria hasn't even completely faded. In certain New Age circles, there are people who claim that they are Lemurian descendants. They believe to be carrying the DNA of this race. Some claim to have Lemurian spirit guides that communicate with them from other dimensions, offering wisdom and guidance. I bet you there's so many on TikTok. If you just click on the right things for the algorithm, you'll probably find a bunch of people who think they're Lemurian descendants. It's the ultimate evolution of Blavatsky's original vision, a lost continent, spiritual evolution, and hidden knowledge. And even though Lemuria sank beneath the ocean, the story didn't end with total extinction. Like I said, Blavatsky and later theosophists believed that not all Lemurians perished during the cataclysm. Instead, a portion of the population survived and migrated across the world. These survivors, while still retaining some of their spiritual knowledge, began to evolve physically and spiritually into a new race of beings, the Atlanteans, who then became the fourth root race. In the theosophical system, Lemuria's survivors were thought to have migrated westward, finding refuge on the new landmass that would become Atlantis. And Atlantis, as Blavatsky described, was a more advanced society than Lemuria, though still tied to many of the same themes of spiritual evolution and moral corruption. The survivors of Lemuria brought with them some of their psychic abilities, though they were already beginning to lose those as it became more material and intellectually focused. That's the other part, too, when we talk about it. The idea of the secret doctrine in Blavatsky is to let go and stop being so mind and intellectually focused and be more intuitive and spiritually guided. You know, let go of your intelligence and be guided by reality, as malleable and unknowable as it is.
That's really beautiful.
I think so, too. I think I got to give Jesse a say. His brain is currently made rebooting.
No, it's just like if we cut through all the bullshit, it's just so scammy because it's this again, it's just using people who are like going through some stuff to make a buck.
We'll talk about her one day. But yes, especially after she dies and people take over her shit.
Yeah.
Atlantis, though, just like Lemuria did, would eventually fall victim to the same moral decay and material excess that led to their downfall, sinking Atlantis beneath the ocean, just as Lemuria had been submerged before it. Another thread in the story of Lemuria survivors involves the idea that some Lemurians didn't even migrate to Atlantis, but instead settled in other parts of the world, becoming the ancestors of various indigenous people, like I said. But those goes in, like I said, racial nonsense. There is a spiritual legacy that the Lemurians leave behind. Beyond physical migration, the idea that Lemurian survivors passed down their spiritual knowledge has been central to the later expansion of this myth. According to Blavatsky and her followers, the spiritual wisdom of Lemuria didn't die with the continent, but was preserved through secret teachings passed down through the ages by esoteric societies. These teachings were said to survive in ancient texts and oral traditions, accessible only to those who were spiritually advanced enough to understand them. Some occult traditions suggest that the ancient Lemurian knowledge was encoded in religious and spiritual systems around the world. For example, certain mystical practices in Hinduism, Buddhism,
and Final Fantasy VI,
Fantasy VI are sometimes linked, without evidence, mind you, to the supposed remnants of Lemurian wisdom. Yoga, meditation, and other practices are often portrayed as ways to reconnect with the higher spiritual abilities that the Lemurians once possessed, thus giving you access to the ancient Lemurian knowledge that has been lost to time.
This has the exact same vibe. Every so often on this show, we cover something along the lines of like, look, we're just not seeing the big picture, but this insert random, either native or like ancient society or whatever, they knew what was up. And it has this big vibe of like, white dudes who didn't do a lot of reading, but it seemed pretty cool, and they heard about it once, and they're like, whoa,
they looked out in the ocean, neat. They had too much money and power, and they just thought they were confident.
Yeah, they tried to explain it, like, well, like, the Indian guys, they figured it out, because they got, like, all sorts of cool stuff over there. The karma, that seemed pretty neat. Like, what's that about? And they just, like, take it.
They got spices, dude.
Or, like, when we talk about Native Americans, and it's like, they have suddenly magic in some people. It's like, what? What are you talking about? It's that vibe of just, like, taking another culture and being like, oh no, that's better than ours because of X, Y, and Z and some sort of spirituality that is assigned to it that makes it like they understood the world better. And it isn't from a place of...
It's like fetishism.
Yes, that's the word I'm looking for.
We did it with Hawaii. Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah, we did it with Hawaii hardcore.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh God, yeah, absolutely. Another way they would get some of this information is actually out at Mount Shasta. There's a supposed in Mount Shasta, an underground, like huge city.
So you gotta say Shasta.
Mount Shasta.
Shasta, you know, the cola or whatever the.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fair enough. I don't drink soda Falls. Very much, so. But either way, this volcano in California, is associated with mystical and esoteric beliefs, and the idea that Lemurians live in secret caverns beneath it first emerged in the early 20th century, particularly following the writings of Frederick Spencer Oliver, who claimed in his 1894 book, A Dweller on Two Planets, that survivors of Lemuria had found refuge inside this mountain. And according to this legend, the Lemurians built an advanced underground city after the continent sank. There, they supposedly lived in harmony, retaining their psychic abilities and spiritual knowledge, untouched by the materialism of the surface world. And some versions of this myth suggest that the Lemurians beneath Mount Shasta are waiting for the right moment to come back out and guide, like I said before, guide everybody to higher consciousness. And this, you can also go there. And some believers have claimed to have seen Lemurian beings or received telepathic messages about this locked away Lemurian knowledge directly to them as they are over by Mount Shasta. So they're described for those who saw them, tall, glowing beings that still possess spiritual power and wisdom. They're just tall and they're glowing. So it's still giant. They glow. And that's another way you can get some of this ancient Lemurian knowledge.
The sausages are served at 6:30 a.m. onwards. I ride at the crack of dawn.
So you guys can get them, and then I'll be done with my weird, positive sex cult way before you get back. And then I'll just eat those sausages. Yeah, no, all right, cool.
Cool. Another way are the Lemurian seed crystals. Now, according to this lore here, these crystals contain the encoded wisdom of the Lemurian people. And some
Like the one that gave Superman.
Yes, correct. Some believe that these crystals were deliberately left behind by the Lemurians as a way to preserve their knowledge of future generations.
Maybe that was like a imprint, like a psychic imprint in the movie Superman, reminding us how to use Lemurian technology.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's soft disclosure. You're right.
Yeah.
Lemurian seed crystals are said to hold a vibrational energy that can help spiritually inclined individuals awaken their psychic abilities and connect with the higher dimensions that Lemurians once access. It's like being force sensitive and downloading all the Jedi knowledge from a crystal, kind of like a holocron, but they're not crystals. They're things. But, you know,
yeah.
I think they're like a crystal, right? They're like a crystal in a box.
Yeah,
I don't know shit about
a little cronny.
I don't know anything about shit.
And lastly, the last way you can get the information about Lemuria are through their ascended masters. Some traditions expand the story of Lemuria to include the idea of these Lemurian ascended masters, beings who have moved beyond the cycle of death and rebirth and now exist on a higher spiritual plane. And this belief ties into Theosophy's concept of the Mahatmas from Blavatsky, or the spiritual adepts, in other words, who are said to guide humanity's evolution from behind the scenes. The Ascended Master teachings, a later offshoot of Theosophy popularized in the early 20th century, include Lemurians as some of these enlightened beings in this framework. And Lemurian survivors are not physically living underground, but exist in a spirit dimension where they act as the guides safely from there. And people who follow their teachings believe that the Lemurians can still be contacted through prayer, meditation.
They're like teleconferencing?
Kind of, yeah, a little bit.
Like a COVID therapy session?
Kind of, yeah, a little bit COVID. Yeah, exactly that. And so that's like, that. If you want, like, you can get direct knowledge from these ascended masters if you can spiritually ascend enough to make contact with them via meditation, prayer, and spiritually attuning yourself. And that's like, and this is kind of where like Moo comes in, and like Moo sweeps in from James Churchward, as we talked about. He says a little bit about Moo before we wrap this up. Like I said, this is kind of a long episode. Churchward said that Moo was home to 64 million people and a technologically advanced society that spread its knowledge and influence worldwide before being destroyed in its own cataclysm. And he based a ton of his research on what he claimed were ancient tablets that he had deciphered in India and Central America, though there's zero evidence to support an ounce of those tablets existing. He probably read The Secret.
He just literally like copied the Mormons.
Yeah. He became, and like, remember when we talked about, I think it was the dude who was like the serial killer who sliced his dick a bunch. Remember his dad was like a preacher, but he was an offshoot of Christianity, but his own version of it.
Fish?
And he found his followers.
I know. I tried to forget about that.
No, not Fish. Yeah. The artist guy.
Oh, the long time ago guy who sliced his dick.
Yeah. We talked about him a long time ago guy. Yeah. No, not Albert Fish. And though Churchward's Moo says it's different than Blavatsky's Lemuria, they were just essentially so fucking similar. Both were described as massive land masses that once spanned parts of the Indian and Pacific Oceans. Both were said to be the home of a highly advanced civilization with advanced spiritual and technological knowledge. Both were thought to have sunk due to natural disasters, leaving behind remnants of their cultures and knowledge scattered across other parts of the world. Churchward's Moo is repackaged Lemuria. And from that point on, and because of that, and because of Moo and all these other bits where like the Theosophists start expanding, Lemuria has endured. It has embedded itself in New Age thought, esoteric beliefs, part of the crystal world of like holding memories. It's fucking everywhere. Ancient astronaut theories. There are even now alien stories about Lemuria, as we briefly touched on. But Lemuria at the beginning was nothing more than an attempt from an early scientist to describe why these lemur bones fossils were in a place that made no sense. And from that simple hypothesis, the entirety of the Lemurian myth spun wildly, in large part due to one influential woman, and then further and there. And that is where we will leave the lost continent of Lemuria.
When are we gonna actually tackle the deep dive, my dude?
You want Blavatsky? I can get working on it. It's gonna take me some time. It's gonna be a long one, but I'll get working
immediately.
On it.
I just was curious when.
I would say
I like if that not, type of person very much. If you know what I mean.
I think early 2025. I don't think I'll be able to get it done before 2024. I'll have
forgotten most of it anyway. So that's perfect.
Yeah. And Lemuria won't be a big, I mean, it'll be a part of her story, but that is not what I want to go over. Like the Secret Doctor will probably be an episode in and of itself, which will then lead into a multi-parter about Madame Blavatsky herself. I've read a lot. Like I've learned a lot about her over the many years, but she's fascinating. But that's where we'll leave it. Thank you all so much for watching, boys. I hope you know more about Lemuria than most people. And same goes for you, audience.
It just charms me. Like, It's like a type of story we don't get that much anymore, and it makes me feel good because if you think back to the what's the one that we were looking at, the TikTok one from like,
oh, the ice, the walls beyond the lands beyond the ice walls,
it's very
of Earth.
Much yes. The same like vibe. It's like the same genre of thing as that, and something about that sort, that type of hopeful thinking or whatever you want to call it is just like a very
magical thinking.
Yeah, it's like watching like a giallo movie. It's like a very, very dank and unique type of like meme lore culture paranormal thing. You know what I mean?
Thinking about like it those. Now, like this, I think before we tackle Madame Blavatsky, I need to do chaos magic.
Hell yes.
She is so inherently tied to chaos magic, and the way she operates is so directly tied, which is all from what the fuck's his name? Begins with an A. Oh, fuck. What's this?
Crowley?
Crowley. Aleister Crowley, which is another guy I can't wait to talk about one day. But like the way Blavatsky operates is essentially chaos magic without calling it chaos magic. And I'll leave it at that. So you know what? You know, the other thing I wanted to, so chaos magic we'll get to work on first. I also want to do the fucking gateway tapes. I want to start working on the gateway tapes as well.
Look at this little trailer we're getting right now. What's happening here?
I've got so many other things in the background, but Lemuria ended up being because it just went down. I'm like, I can't do Lemuria the myth without just like going all the way back to the origin, because it's so imperative to understanding how Lemuria came into existence in the first place. So thank you all so much for being here. Thank you all so much for listening. We're off to do a minisode over at patreon.com/Illuminati Pod. We appreciate you. We love you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Illuminati Podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined by the... I don't know who they are. There's two.
What?
Terrence Hill and Bud Spencer.
No.
Neo and Trinity.
No.
I don't understand, and I probably never will. Let me just tell you right now that there's two... Kennedy and Claire Redfield.
I'm telling you, I think he literally just looked up famous duos.
Cheech and Chong.
And has just been going through the list ever since.
I'm trying to dig deep. Which one of you is Dick Powell?
Me?
Your name's Jesse Cox.
I want to love you. I want my mind. I want to love you. I want my body. I want to love you. I want to love you.
Everybody, welcome back to the Illuminati Podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined by Alex and Jesse. Like a shooting star across the sky that's actually a UFO.
military veterans, and active duty service members. You could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.